Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your Carolina Panthers.
Hey, yeah, relax. Yeah, take a deep breath.
Oh yeah, I'm hot. I'm
if you really upset, bomb on me so I can go inside. Okay. You got me?
Yeah.
Like, loosen a suit.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
I won't press no charges. You can even play the whole season. No game suspension, none of that. All right?
Yeah.
I may even give you some money. All right? I don't want to make you laugh. Okay?
Cat
scratch
fever.
Not here, baby.
Cat scratch fever.
I can't quit now. Yeah, I keep my focus, man. I keep my focus. We're going to find out how far we can push ourselves.
Good evening, Panther fans. Welcome to another episode of Cat Scratch Radio. I'm Jackson. I'll be your host again for this next hour or so of talking Carolina Panther football. Had a quite, I guess we've been a couple weeks now since our last edition after the Super Bowl. And, of course, we just wrapped up the scouting combine, and we'll be talking a lot about that. Of course, the big news this week is the release of D'Angelo Williams. Long time, I guess, nine seasons in Carolina. All-time leading rusher, all-time leading touchdown, rushing touchdown scorer, and all-around good guy. Certainly one of my favorite to ever wear the electric blue and black and silver. And we're going to miss him. I think he can still play. Though I admit it was probably time to go. My thoughts have always been that the platoon seemed nice, seemed like a great idea, but in the end it was a lot of money invested in one position. They're both really just lead backs, and Double Trouble just really never lived up to its work. It's billing until, since Stewart's rookie year in 2008. And I put up a post on this the other night before, and actually I had no inkling it was going to come down the next day. I just ran across something and thought, that probably is going to happen pretty soon, certainly probably by the first week in March, and there it came down the very next day. So... quite disappointing to lose a longtime guy like that. Now another guy on the chopping, or I guess out the door, Byron Bell, which I really thought they might still bring him back for depth, or at least bring him back to compete. But I think in the end it was just they gave him his 1 year to show he could play left tackle, and it went pretty much like how we thought it would. Not very good at all. So Bell said he's leaving. Doesn't say that he may not actually get an acceptable deal anywhere else, and the Panthers decide to bring him back on a really cheap deal to maybe compete at right tackle. I can't see them trying him on the left side again. But never know. The guy just didn't play well last year on the left side. Maybe had one or two acceptable games, and the rest of them was just a dumpster fire. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and go to the phones. I do have one guy out here so far. Bobby? I believe Bobby's on the line.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. Not a whole lot, just taking in all the combine stuff this past weekend.
So did you get a chance to watch some of it live, or at least some of the video?
No, it's all video. I don't get NFL Network on my package. I know that's blasphemy in this forum, but
Well, you know, they weren't. They usually had it on their website in past seasons where you could just stream it right from NFL.com. But they, I guess, they decided not to do that this year.
I guess these cable companies are. I had to check out all the dialogue and stuff after the fact. But
I mean, I couldn't get it online, but I have it as part of my package, so I did watch, about half of it, I guess. I didn't really see much of defense. It was really all the first 2 days offense. I watched a decent amount of it, but I just watched in tackles and wide receivers.
Well, I guess we found out Jameis Winston can work a whiteboard. We found out that that one guy could broad jump. And high jump.
Yeah. But, there's a star, a workout star every year, and there's a couple of them this year, including that, I guess it was Byron Jones was his name.
Yeah. The Connecticut cornerback.
UConn. Isn't that where Darius Butler came from?
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, we let him go, and he went and started at, Indy?
Yeah, he played pretty well for them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I'm just looking, at all the mocks, and, there's a lot of interesting things about O-Tackle. I guess what I've been doing, I've been trying to find the top 50-some players and figure what our choices might be in the first and second round. But I don't know. Just depends on who falls to us and what these other teams are thinking.
I've never been so bewildered about a group of players in the same position than this year's tackle class. That who's the best tackle in the group? You could get six different answers across six different pundits. Are any of them even going to go in the top 10? You get some argument there. It's just really strange that it seems like there's always a run on tackles, and it goes early because it's a valued position.
Yeah.
But that I think there may not be a single tackle that goes in the top 10 this year, but there could be a run of five of them between 10 and 20.
Yeah.
Or at least in the latter half of the first round, there could be a run of five in there. And probably out of that top six, probably two will slide into the second round, I'll bet.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Just,
I'm predicting the Panthers.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking this is kind of where my mind is, okay? In the first three rounds, I don't know that it'll be in this order, but, we're looking offensive tackle, we're looking maybe wide receiver, and we're looking that pass rusher that gets loves. So I'm not sure if that will happen that way, and I'm not sure what order it might happen that way. But does that seem like a logical way to think? I mean, would we step out of that? Is there a linebacker out there somewhere we might run into? What do you think?
Well, outside of the Cam Newton pick, I haven't been able to correctly guess, come close to the Panthers' first-round pick. So because offensive tackle is so obvious, and even wide receiver, I just think it is going to end up being a defender. Linebacker like Shaq Thompson or a defensive tackle like Eric Armstead or
what if he double dipped on OT? I think somebody wrote that in one of your articles. If he double dipped an offensive tackle, that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yes, I would love it. If he just got the two best tackles on his board at 25 and 57, and then go receiver in the third, I bet there's still going to be a good receiver on the board. there around pick, what's our third, like 90-something. So, or right around 90, I can't remember what the pick numbers are. But I think there's going to be a good receiver there.
I do too.
Which, you know, which one exactly, not too sure. But it's, you know, it's one of the deeper positions.
Yeah.
So, and tackle is too, but I think that it's a deep position, though it may not be a lot of quality at the top.
Mm-hmm.
That just means that we could very well get quality picks in those first two rounds.
You know, I'll say this. I'll add this final thing. Remember that the final news conference of the year when Gettleman was kind of given the end of the season news conference, and he made reference to that Texas A&M tackle that blew out his knee.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, the poor kid. Makes me wonder, does he really have his eye on him? You know, is he doing the old Kelvin Benjamin thing again, you know? But trying to
discount
his
wouldn't that be a...
I don't know.
Well, a lot of people have said that he might be a top 10 pick if he hadn't done, you know, hurt his knee.
Yeah. So anyway, well, that's kind of what I've been, where my mind's been this week. Ready
well,
for that
you know,
draft, man.
You wouldn't, you got to look for your clues, you know, early, I think, with Gettleman, because particularly right around this point, you know, when he's saying, well, there's a blue goose, you know, defensive tackle sitting right there, you know I'll have a hard time passing him up.
Yeah.
Well, shoot. I think that's total smokescreen right now, I think, because...
Mm-hmm.
Last thing he wants is to have his preferred tackle snatched out, you know, from him at number 24 or something.
Well, you know, by letting Byron Bell go, that tells you he's going to do something somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, I get where some people are like, well, that ruins that. You lose leverage by doing that because I guess agents or players think you're now desperate. Well, I don't know. Wouldn't that also you know tell them that hey, you come with us, you're sliding right into left tackle.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
You know, I'm not going to play all this. You got to compete or you know give you that BS. Hey, man, we're expecting you to play left tackle. We're going to give you a good deal here, and it's yours, man. You know, get out there and prove it, and, you know, you have a good season. Well, you know, and we'll re-sign you a three-year deal or something. Again, I don't know what, you know, I guess whoever we get there is going to probably want a three- or four-year deal. But, you know,
yeah,
let's assume we do that like a David Newton who – I was just reading. Who's letting him – oh, Houston. Houston might let him walk, even though the blogger over there was saying he had a really good year and they should try to re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's an option besides probably Brian Bulaga, who's probably more pricey than we want to pay.
Yeah.
You know, but when we get a guy who's, you know, that you literally could say, well, he could play right there for 3 years. Boy, that sure does change, you know, it forces us to not have to take a tackle and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Still, if we double dip first two rounds, it wouldn't bother me either because, hey, that sure worked at defensive tackle.
Man, did it ever. We're gonna have the draft show this year, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see.
Wait.
Yeah, I can't avoid that one, man.
It was good. It's been good. It was great the last couple of years. I mean, it's a good show.
I've enjoyed those. That's like, you know, that's the most trafficked of the year is the draft for the blog. So I always want to speak.
Yeah. You guys do a great job.
Let's see, I got a couple other people on the line, but there's people
I thought long enough.
Well, no, they're actually no talkers. I got them down. Let's see, we got one more here. I don't know who this is. Not on my list. Well, let's see. I got a 336-264 if you want to join the call. Now's the time. Or I'll put you back on mute if you just want to listen in.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, who's this? Hello? 336-264? Was that you or was that you, Bobby?
No, I'm 910. Last two digits.
Right. 520, yeah. Okay. I'm going to put 336-264 on my no talk list, which is fine. I don't mind people calling in and not wanting to talk. That's perfectly fine. It's one way to listen to the show. But I just keep a running list of those so I don't keep trying to get them to talk.
Well, I mean, if you need me, I'm here.
Yeah, well, it's just me and you right now. That's what happens when I don't run the show every week is people start forgetting about it.
Yeah.
And, the off season is just a lot to do it every week.
I just opened up the blog and seen the article that we were having at the night. It's been a good week. Ready for that. I guess with the D'Angelo Williams thing, I was thinking about one thing today. You know, I was listening to FNZ and all their stuff over there in Charlotte. They were really kind of getting down on Jerry Richardson. But one thing that kind of got lost in all that discussion today, which I didn't hear one reference to it, was, you know, Richardson lost his son to cancer. D. Will wasn't the only one, to lose a mother to that. Richardson's son he was my age. If I'd have gone to Carolina, we'd have gone in together. He knows all about that. I think D. Will's just a little sore that it's kind of come to an end,
I hated to hear that. For him to have anything negative like that about that. But, I had to think about it myself. When my father passed away, my company I was working for, they sent flowers. He was out of state. And I guess D'Angelo's mother was out of state too. They sent flowers. They didn't come to the, funeral. I really wouldn't have expected them to. Everyone gave me their condolences. But, he was, saying he was kind of hurt that nobody attended and that Jerry Richardson didn't call him. I can't imagine they didn't send flowers. I mean, he didn't get that far, but, I'm sure they did or something, I'm sure they did something, but I don't know that it's that unusual, and you're right that, I'm not sure you're right. I mean, you're right that his son, Jerry's son himself died of it. Back in 2013. I actually went ahead and Googled that because I had totally forgotten about that.
Yeah. And, the reason I know about it is, of course, I'm a cancer survivor myself. I was going through it about the time that he died, I'm sitting there fighting it and doing it, and he passes away, so it,
right,
gets a little personal, but they both suffered a big loss. They were talking today on FNZ, a couple of guys on there, about was it that there was some teammate issues, locker room issues maybe that had brought some of this up. I don't know, but I'm sure we'll all get through it, and he'll get through it, and maybe he'll get picked up by somebody. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We finally got somebody else. We got Ed on the line.
Hello?
What's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
We've kind of jumping around a little bit. We've talked to Angelo just recently, a little bit of Byron Bell, a little bit of the scouting combine. That Byron Jones, man, that was a hell of a broad jump. What an athlete that guy is.
They gave him an HGH test right after that.
Did they?
I'm kidding.
They probably did, though. You're probably right. I mean, they all get screened. They all get drug screened there, don't they?
Yeah, I believe they all do.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about D'Angelo, it wasn't a move that particularly surprised hardly anyone, you know, except the typical Facebook fan. Man, that stuff over there is hard to read. But,
yes, it is.
But the thing about his mother is shocking to me. I mean, the whole interview to me seemed kind of, I like D'Angelo as a person, and there was a change on it. It seems like it was a little bit, in my opinion, kind of calculated, because he went to a person with an interview that, you know, he trusted. You know, he didn't go to Darren Gann or Joe Person or, you know, and a couple of those guys. So it seemed kind of awkward to me. I mean, if that happened, it's terrible. But I mean, I'm not an NFL player, but one of my closest family members died on me while I was at my job, and it was my uncle, but he was just like a father to me, and nobody from my job site showed up, and they gave me their condolences, all that, but nobody never really called. So I don't know. I don't know too much about that. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yep. Don't live too long in this life, and you'll know somebody that died of cancer.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, and of course, during the whole pink campaign, the Panthers spearheaded that with D'Angelo then, so.
Right.
I don't know. But speaking of Mr. Byron Bell, I know a lot of us are sad to see him go. I'm really sad to see him go, man. I really am. I'm gonna miss those turnstiles.
It forces us to put someone else in there, so that we're not tempted to try it again.
That's just my thoughts on that. I guess we'll be looking for another running back again, maybe earlier in the draft.
Well, you know, that's a common I see that a lot on the blog, and in particular people's mock drafts, is us taking, you know, a running back. And again, you know, if the running back is BPA, then sure, Gettleman may take him. But I just, you know, as far as BPA meaning need, I'd be perfectly happy going into next season with Jonathan Stewart, Fozzie Whitaker, and who was the other kid, the rookie that played pretty well, actually got a start. Played pretty well, but more of an inside runner, not a real fast guy. Y'all know who I'm talking about there. Darren Reeves.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be
perfectly fine with that, too.
You know, I don't see Stewart going anywhere. Sure as hell hope not.
No.
So, and Whitaker, I mean, he's just a second-year guy. He's going on his third season. He looked damn good. I just I couldn't believe that he was available then once I saw him run the ball. So, you know, he's cheap.
The man knows what he's doing. Like,
I think so. I mean, there's so many running backs out there. I just don't see that big need to spend a third-round pick on a Duke Johnson or you mentioned D'Angelo's little
take Todd Gurley.
Oh, please.
So we need to be right back
in the same platoon situation?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I mean, Ed, they're talking about he could be the back. I mean, there's somebody saying this was somebody I really respected. I'm like, talking about picking him at 25 if he's there. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, I listen to anybody try and sell me something, but that was just one pizza slice I'm going to go eat. And I said, you know what, I'm going I can't eat it. It looks good, tastes good, but no.
It looks good on the menu, but once you throw it in your mouth, it ain't quite there, huh?
No, I didn't quite hit. It feels like the same 5 years, past 5 years, so I'm good.
I got tired of everybody railing on the fact we were spending so much money running back. It never really bothered me because it seemed like we were always happy to have both of them because, you know, if they were good at one thing, and that was if one was hurt, the other one was healthy.
Well,
and vice versa. About the time one would get hurt, the other one would get healthy. So, you know,
we always
seem to have a good starting running back available.
Well, the one thing I was talking to somebody about today is that when D'Angelo Williams first signed that contract, the year before, the few seasons before, people forgot that he was the back in the league. That's with Adrian Peterson. You know, people forget he came out the same draft that, you know, Reggie Bush and Lawrence Maroney were picked before him. He was picked at the back end of the draft. And
back in the first round, 26 or something,
He was at the back end. I said he was the back in the league at that time. So the money was warranted, like, for both those guys. It just it happens at the end. And he knew it was coming. But when it was first signed, I had no problem with it because D'Angelo Williams was damn good. He was a good back.
So, a lot of good wide receivers at the combine. I mean, guys throwing down 4.4s, under 4.5s, it's like there was like a dozen of them this year.
Yes.
I mean, just a lot of really fast guys, big guys, too. And I have to admit, I'm a believer in the Kevin White guy, kid, as far as being the top. I mean, I've been sold on Amari Cooper for a while, but that kid to me, he looks like another Andre Johnson to me.
There's only a couple of times I usually drool, and that's when I have a plate of food in front of me. When I seen that guy, I drool. I was like, wow.
Kevin White?
Yes. He's big and quick.
Yep.
Big and quick.
Yep.
How do you – what are they – what a specimen.
But a guy like the Dorsett kid, probably going to be there at 25. Ran a what, a 4.32 or something? I like him a lot better, even though I must admit the Sammy Coates, he looks like another Terrell Owens. but his hands scare the hell out of me. I wouldn't pick him in the first round. There's some good wide receivers there. So,
well, you know, Getz, he's been talking about it. He's going to get fast. We're going to get fast.
Yeah. Yep. Let me look around and see if I got anyone else on the line here. I was hoping I should have. Usually I contact my guys on the blog, and I just totally forgot to see, like, a Canadian Panther, because I know he was all about the combine. Well, this one's interesting. I got it. It's called Live. Whoever logged in is live. If you want to talk, now's the time. Nope, live is not live. let's see. I got another number here. Don't recognize this one. No, new number, 71, area code 719-237. Opening up your mic if you want to. Hey, who's this?
It's CP2121. I usually just comment in the chat.
Okay. CP21 or something?
Yeah, I usually just comment in the chat.
I gotcha. So finally decided to put a voice to the chat, huh?
Yeah, usually I'm working and stuff like that, so I usually have you guys on my computer at work.
I got you.
But remember a couple weeks ago when I was talking about the Cardinals releasing Ted Ginn? Well, here we are. And I just seen on Twitter that Mike Tolbert is already vowing to bring Ted Ginn back. I hope Gettleman jumps on that, because as a receiver, not so much, but we all know the return game sucked last season.
Yeah.
You think Ted Ginn should be on the top of our priority list as a free agent?
I do. I hated to see him go, and it wasn't really because of as a wide receiver and stretching the field. It was all just return game, and you know, knowing A, he's going to catch the damn ball. B, he's not going to do something stupid, and C, actually has a chance to make some decent yardage. It's a no-brainer, and I think. He went over there for, I think Arizona was offering him $2 million a season or something like that, and we only paid him $1.5 million the last time. So, well, we'd probably get him for $1.2 million or something, or $1 million. It just seems like a no-brainer, and you'd immediately take, it'd be like one of your top worries, you know, going into the season, check it off right now. You know, March 10th,
you think
check
behavior-
it off. Why would he not go to bat for him? At least to put him in the mix, you can, you know, bring him into camp and, you know, guarantee it fully if he makes the roster. You know, offer him 1.5, you know, and or two-year deal for $2.5 million or something, $2 million, and you
deal.
Immediately take a big worry off the table. Because, I mean, we don't have many real worries at this point. Left tackle is a huge worry, you know, until that is filled, that's a huge worry. The only other area that we're just totally missing is the return game. You know, you could probably throw in some special teamers there on coverage. We could use some help. And, you know, I think we need some competition for Remmers at right tackle. But it wouldn't hurt my feelings to go into the season with Remmers at right tackle. So, to me, top three worries is that return game, and Ted Ginn fixes that. The guy's still, he's not even 20, he's not even 30 years old yet. I don't think.
Not at all.
Can
you see Gettleman bringing in? I think he's 28, be 29 in the winter or something?
Yeah, I think you bring, I'd be very surprised.
Like I said, I just had to be scrolling on Twitter, and Mike Tolbert was like already talking about trying to get Ted Ginn back.
He knows. Yep, he's 29. He'll actually be 30 in April. Looking at his birthday.
Now, my other
if thing. We sign him, I'll put his birthday on my calendar.
And then my other thing is, With the draft class being so deep at wide receivers, there's a lot of veteran wide receivers getting cut. You think we might go after another vet?
Yeah. I mean, we certainly went that route last year. I can't see Gettleman necessarily giving up on that. You know, we brought in three veteran wide receivers last year, Cotchery, Avant, and, remember, Underwood. Of course, you know,
yeah,
Underwood didn't
felt,
make it out of camp.
Underwood.
But, you know, so it wouldn't shock me to see that happen again. And one thing I went and looked back is it seemed to me that we made a lot more of our moves after the draft, but we didn't. I mean, and I thought that we waited a couple weeks in the free agency. Our MO, we signed the majority of our guys like a week after free agency started, like 6 days, you know, up to about 2 weeks, and we were done. I mean, that was the bulk of the guys we brought in. So I would expect to see that happen again, but if there is a day one move of free agency, I bet Ted Ginn is it. Just because we know what we're getting. You know, we've had him on the roster. We know he can play. It was just a matter of, I think it was just a matter of him getting a bigger deal. You know, offering him, I think he gave him 3 seasons and, you know, offered him a little sweeter deal, so he left. But he's probably himself wishing he had come back. Again,
yeah, he made some good plays for us.
He did. He did. And,
that's
you
the
look
thing.
At
Carolina's the. I was going to say the Carolina is the only place where he actually looked like a receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know we're a grind and pound it type of, you know, supposedly a run first offense, but the fact is Cam Newton is good at throwing the deep ball. And to make the read option work, I think you have to throw that deep ball, you know, periodically. Now, one thing was interesting in the D'Angelo announcement is he talked about when they called him in, which was interesting. He said it was a week before he actually came out and said something. So yeah, he said it was like last Monday. We found out on Monday. He said it was last Monday he had that conversation with him. So Gettleman went through the combine knowing he'd already had that conversation, ignored it, you know, said he was going to have a conversation with Williams, but already had the conversation apparently. But he learned from his fiasco last year that, hey, I'll let D'Angelo tell – you know, tell the press when he's good and ready to tell the press, I guess. It was a little confusing, but I keep forgetting to get to where I want to get to. But D'Angelo said, why? They said, well, we have to release you. And he said, why? And he's like, well, we don't run the ball enough. I was like, wow, really?
That was the only part of that whole thing I wasn't comfortable with. I felt like they could have come up with something better than that. That seems a little weak.
Why not just say, well, look, we've decided that we're going to go with the younger guy, and we've decided we're not even going to try a platoon, and Stewart's going to be our guy, and he's going to get 20 touches next year. We think that's the path to victory, and that, you know, you're going to be a second or third stringer, and you would probably just do better to try to play out the rest of your career somewhere else as a – you know, because by week 8 next year, he'll be starting for somebody after some running back gets hurt. If he doesn't get signed by somebody. No, don't say that.
I'm just saying, we all know what happened this past season. It was bad for the running backs.
Yeah.
You know, we had Darren Reed starting at one time.
Yeah, he did start a game. I mentioned that earlier. And he played pretty well, I mean, for an undrafted rookie.
Yeah, that's the one thing
he could go in as our third stringer, and I'd be very confident with that. So I want to give a shout out to everyone in the chat. Got a lot of conversation over there with Lynn Leonhart. That's a new name. Welcome, Darnell Holmes. Seen him out there a good bit, just about every week. CP2121, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Yep.
The other thing I've been really keeping a close eye on is it doesn't seem like the Pats are going to bring Randall Cobb back.
Yeah. I think we do. Lynn asked a question here about why we couldn't sign. I think we're in a blackout period now that you can't sign a new deal until March 8th. I think you can start and get, you know, the franchise tag thing has to come down pretty soon. You got to make a decision real soon on that. And then there's certain, like the UFAs, you can start signing on the 10th immediately. You can start negotiating, though, I want to say 2 days before that. But, yeah, I don't think you can sign unless it's somebody who wasn't in the league last year, and that's where you get those futures contracts. Remember that the Panthers signed a bunch of people to futures contracts, I guess a month or so ago. But that was dudes that were already on the practice squad or who were not on a roster last year, I think, is the way that works. But let's see. Back on the Bruce DeHaven thing, you know, because that is the one staffing change that the Panthers decided to make. I think it was well deserved. I'm kind of wondering now why DeHaven wasn't in charge of special teams all last year when they moved Richard Rodgers to defense or something and said, well, that's actually where he's a better, you know, I'm like, well, I'm thinking, well, why in the hell was he over special teams to begin with then? But, hey, yeah, I'm hopeful we can turn it around because I think, you know, 2 years ago, special teams was a lot more effective than what we saw last year, just a huge step back.
Let's see, Southern Calgary. Lynn's in Southern California. That's somebody not worried about all this cold-ass weather. Yeah. Yeah. But, well, let's see what else we got working here. I don't see any new callers. Oh, wait, no, here we go. I recognize that number. Local number 843. Oh, shit.
What's
Goose
going
Creek
on?
I knew I recognized that. What's up, GC?
Hey, late to the party.
A little late to the party, man. You do that every week, don't you?
I'm here
not
home.
Every week,
I'm,
I guess. Yeah.
I try to get in. I stay home pretty much. We've got stuff going on here at home. Keep us close by.
Well, I scoff at their wintry mix they talked about was going to hit here because it was just wet and cold, but it was not icy at all this morning. Not down here anyway on James Island. Maybe you up in Goose Creek, maybe?
It's not bad. It hasn't been bad. I heard y'all talking about the comment on we don't run enough to keep D'Angelo. I think that might have been contextually. I think you might be missing the mark. I think what he was saying is we don't run the ball enough to spend that much money on that position right now.
Yeah.
Not saying they don't run enough, but they don't run enough to use all that money on that position.
Well, right. We don't run enough to the running back because honestly, 20 touches would be a lot for us when you consider that, well, Cam's going to run the ball 5 to 8 times. Tolbert's probably going to run the ball 3 or 4 times. you know, for the running back to hit 18, well, now you're up towards 30 rushes, you know, which is probably about what you'd want, you know, on in a game where you get the ball a good bit. You know, you're looking at 50, 60 plays and a 50-50 break. Yeah, you know, 25, 30 rushes. And I just never, when both Williams and Stewart were healthy and Williams was getting 12 to 15 touches and Stewart was getting 5 to 10 or whatever, it just never, neither player was able to get into a rhythm. And I think, you know, this last four games where Stewart's, you know, ripping off, you know, over the course of a game, being the lead back, he's putting up 120 yards, you know, ripping off, you know, 6, 8, 10, 12 yards at a time. You know, that's how you sustain a running game, not by just constantly, you know, interchanging the running back. That's my opinion anyway. So did you watch any of the combine, GC?
I did. It was enjoyable. I was surprised how poor the linebackers were, but other than that, it's about on par.
I'll tell you what, and I already admitted I didn't watch a whole lot of the defense. I watched the linemen, one set of the defensive linemen that had the Leonard Williams and Gregory. No, there's a couple of the big names there that I don't know. This guy's right, isn't it? Leonard Williams, the Southern Cal kid with the big hair,
right? Yeah.
He didn't look big enough to be a defensive tackle. He looked more like a 4-3 defensive end to me.
Well, he is one of the DT / DE guys.
Yeah, maybe he's a 3-4 defensive end. I tell you, out of all of them, the one I'd take in a heartbeat is Danny Shelton. You imagine putting him next to Starr? Try to run on that.
if he fell to 25, I wouldn't have any problem with taking him, but I don't think we'll ever see him.
No, I'd be surprised if he gets past Chicago at number 7.
I was sort of looking at the other end of the draft, and the kid that I liked that I saw play a couple of times that I really liked was out of Chattanooga, and he had a good combine.
Out of the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga?
Yeah. You know, I like to watch little college guys. That's where I came up with the Quentin Rollins, and I like Derek Lott. He's out of Chattanooga. And then the other little college guy that I see that I want him to play center is be a backup center, developmental center, is Marpet. You had his picture on one of your posts.
Marple or Marpet?
Marpet. Ali Marpet.
Ali Marpet. He really impressed at the combine with his speed and yeah.
I want him to be brought in as a center. Can you imagine him getting downfield from the center position blocking, moving around?
Yeah,
he'd be great.
Well, you didn't tell me what was the name of the UT guy.
And we're getting older there, you know.
What's the name of the UT Chattanooga defensive tackle?
Lott. L-O-T-T.
Lott. What's he pegged for? What round, do you think?
He's
a mid-round guy?
But they were talking about undrafted free agent at one time, but I think he's gone into the sixth round now. He had a pretty good combine. And I think he's going to be, you know, he was sort of unheralded. You know, little college guys, they worry about him.
I think out of all the defensive tackles besides Shelton, my second pick would be Eric Armstead. Dude's a monster, man. He looks like another Calais Campbell.
And he's another guy that moves up and down the line. He plays all along the defensive line.
Yep. he is the kind of guy that would slide right in like Greg Hardy. And again, he might take a little while to develop. But 6'8", 290, very athletic, very strong, has some really good rip moves. But, man, that size.
Well, you know, it's going to sound silly because lots of defensive tackle, and we're talking defensive ends, but lots of it reminds me of Hardy. He's quick. He's very quick for a guy his size. I don't think he has the power that Hardy has, but he's super quick. I think he can develop anywhere he wants to go.
I would agree with you. I didn't see him on my list.
And then, like I said, he was sort of a outsider. I'd seen him play once in person, and I saw him play in the Shrine Bowl. And I just watched, you know, my eye was drawn to him by how quick he was getting off the ball.
What did we find out about Shaq Thompson during this combine?
That
he is really
jack
athletic.
Of all trades and master of none.
Yeah, I mean, some people wondering if he hurt himself by refusing to work out as a safety, or he wants to be a linebacker. And honestly, as a football player, you should be willing to play whatever the team that's willing to pay you it wants you to play. He's intriguing as a weak side linebacker, though. And he would kind of come in that Thomas Davis mold. I'd love to see him play behind Davis for a couple seasons. Bring him in as a big nickel type of nickel corner. Cover some tight ends.
Yeah, that's how
I'm kind
Thomas
of hoping
Davis
that
was.
The Panthers pick a couple of guys just to bring in and see where they end up developing to. I'd like to see him bring in Nick Marshall, too, if he's there in the fifth or sixth round. Quarterback from Auburn?
Yeah.
Because he could be a quarterback or a safety or linebacker somewhere in there.
Yeah, because Nick Marshall's switching over to corner.
Right. And if he doesn't work out at corner, you can put him at safety or, like you said, develop him as a Thomas Davis, let him put on a little weight and be Davis's replacement when he leaves.
I don't know. I'm just not a fan. Again, you said bring him in. You mean as actually like a seventh-round pick or something, or a UDFA?
Yeah, sixth round, seventh round.
Yeah.
And developing. Because he's just such an athlete. You know, they move him around in college to where they help the team the most.
Right.
But you can't go wrong with a strong athlete. You'll find a place for him on your roster. He'll find his own place.
I don't know. Just position switches have just never worked out for us very well. I'm still a little burned from the Armani Edwards thing.
Well, that was kind of foolish bringing him in anyway. I was never a fan of that move.
Yeah.
Definitely
want to hurt his mistakes.
Worked out all right for Thomas Davis. He went from safety to linebacker.
Yep, it did. Good point. I guess that's not as big of a transition.
Right. Well, you know, Marshall played defensive back at Georgia before he went to Auburn.
I didn't know that.
Sure did. He got recruited out of high school as a defensive back. And played for a year. He was like an all-freshman selection on defense as a defensive back and ended up getting into some trouble with the coaching staff over something. I'm not sure why, but he left and went to Auburn. Went to a small college for a year and then went to Auburn.
I guess another topic. a tweet from Joe Person.
Well, before you move off too far, y'all were talking about also bringing back return guy from San Francisco that we got that went to Arizona. What's his name?
Again.
I'm hoping we bring in Kaylin Clay, the kid from Utah.
Yeah, I mean, I have no problem drafting a return guy as well. Throw him out there.
I'm hoping get a seventh-round pick or maybe a comp pick in the seventh round or something we can pick him up with. That'll be interesting to see what kind of comp picks we get.
When do they usually announce the comp picks?
Oh, it's late. It's after. It's after most of the pro days are over. It's right like real close to the draft. Maybe a week or two before the draft.
I don't know why I thought it was earlier than that.
I actually just posted a pro day schedule. Well, no, I'm sorry. It goes up at 11 here in about 4 minutes. Who were you asking about?
He was asking about comp picks when they come out, and I said it's like a week or two before the draft. It's real late.
I misheard him. I thought he said pro days. Something about pro days. Yeah, they don't. Yeah, I want to say about a week. You're right. About 2 weeks before the draft is when they issue those. I think we should get more than one pick. I think there's a prediction out there that we would just get a fifth rounder only. But yeah, when you count the heads of who we lost versus who we brought in, it was about an even trade. But when you look at the salaries, it was a big difference. Us losing about 16 million in salary or something, or maybe even more, because Ted Ginn, I just saw, had just under 10 million. And, you know, the safety, he went for, hell, he got a big deal.
Yeah, going up to Chicago.
Yeah. And then LaFell got a decent deal. It just seemed to me that when you look at the size of the contracts, hell, I could see us getting a fifth and a seventh rounder.
I'm kind of thinking we get two.
Yeah.
How much did Captain sign for in Minnesota?
That's who the other one I was trying to think of. Captain got $3-4 million a season, something like that. Ginn signed for 9.75 over 3 years. And Mike Mitchell, he went for, he was getting like $5 million a year or something. Over 4 years. It was, the money disparity was just huge. So when that guy that likes to predict these came out and said, NFL, the Panthers should just get one, a fifth rounder, I was like, what?
I don't think that's the guy that usually does it, though. There's another guy, and I can't remember his name, but I'll know it when I see it. He's a little closer down the line. He'll come out with one. He'll go team by team and discuss it. And he's usually been pretty close. And he's maybe a month before draft. I didn't know who this guy was saying that we were going to get a fifth rounder.
I thought it was a guy that predicts it every year and had done pretty well. Yeah, Mitchell signed a 5-year, $25 million deal. Mm. I mean, we didn't sign anyone close to that.
No.
So Ginn got $10 million. I think Munnerling got $10 million. I did this whole thing before when the guy posted the – I should just go back and look at it that I – did a comparison of salaries with what we lost versus what we gained. And I guess if they're saying we can't get more than one pick because of the number of guys we signed, And it's going to be a fifth rounder?
Yeah. Look, with IGM, I'm okay with the fifth rounder.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a starting quarterback in the fifth round last year.
And as silly as it might sound, I wouldn't even be afraid to move back from the first round into the second round and get a couple of extra picks.
No, you're right. If we could move back into the top of the second round and you can nail another second rounder or something, or somehow, again, I don't know what team would have that, or
nearly third
add
round.
In their third rounder.
Because
we're going to have eight picks already, right? We've got our full complement of seven and probably at least one comp pick.
Yeah.
If we could move back to the top of the second and get an extra top of the third pick with it, get a second and third round pick for our first for somebody wanting to move up and get a five-year contract on somebody, I think
yeah.
we should do it.
Yeah, because you still have, like, offensive tackles like Jake Fisher that we can get early in the second and still get a wide receiver in the second or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And that gives you ammunition to move around later, too, just like they did with getting Ben Wickery.
Yep.
It'd be nice to have a couple of extra picks that you can move for somebody if you really want them.
Yeah, that move for Ben Wickery is kind of one of those – you know, moves that at the time were just like, what in the hell? And now he just looks like a damn genius.
Yep.
When they announced the pick, I was like, who's this guy? Never heard
yeah.
of him. Now,
it's like, we just traded away
somebody
our
had written
sixth rounder.
On Ben Wickery and about them going out and visiting him out in California. They didn't bring him into Charlotte, they went to California to see him. When they were on their little West Coast tour.
Yeah. When
and they had a write up on
him. When they did their swing out there, yep. Huh. I think they knew they had something.
And they
something
kept quiet about
there.
It. That was smart not bringing him in. Nobody knew they were looking at him because they didn't bring him into Charlotte.
Yeah.
And see, it's all right. We have a smart GM, right?
Yeah, he's savvy, isn't he? He's very savvy. And that's why it could be wide receiver again this year. It could be a pass rusher.
You know, my wide receiver didn't run at the combine. I'd like to see Perriman run at the combine, but he won't be running until next month. I think their pro day is like the 20. No, Perriman, the wide receiver.
Central Florida kid?
Perriman.
Yeah. They're saying he's like one of the more polished ones in the draft.
What's that?
He's one of the more polished guys in the draft, supposedly, wide receivers.
Right. I wanted to see how fast he was. That's one thing I don't know is what kind of speed he's got, but he seems to get behind people. He's the one that caught that last-second Hail Mary that won that game against ECU for him.
Oh, I remember that catch. Huh. As long as we can
6'3", 215. Well, this is saying Ben Wickery was at the combine.
Yeah, but I'm talking about after the combine when they went to the pro days and stuff.
Yeah, they didn't really give indicate that they were into him. But, you know, he only ran a 4.59, which isn't really lighting it up. I don't know, who was the Panther? Which of the members of ours that drove us nuts until we finally banned him about the damn combine numbers? Panthers for the win, or I don't know. But all he ever cared about was you know, and so Ben Wicker, he'd have looked at him and go, 4-5-9, he can't play. He's only 5'11". He bench repped 10 times.
Panthers roar.
I think, yeah, that's who it was. Yeah. Well, I just got tired of that shit. It's like, come on, man. Just
Sherman
speed is
didn't
not
run, but
everything.
Like Richard Sherman ran like a 4-5-8 or a 4.
Yeah.
4.6 yep. or something like that. He didn't burn it up either.
Yeah, Ben Wicker, only 10 bench reps, but he had a vertical of 40 inches, 40 and one half inch. Broad jump, 10-2. Yeah, very quick twitch type of guy. And actually ran a worse on his pro day. Pro day was terrible. 4.69.
Him and Benjamin had something going. They were holding it back, wanting to go to the Panthers.
Well, maybe this year that could be the Ogbui kid, the Texas A&M tackle that's hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Because they said that until he got, before getting hurt, that he was one of the more polished pass protectors in the draft. And he'll still probably go in the second round coming off of an ACL tear.
The only thing that scares me, and you don't know where it comes from because you see all this stuff, but I'd seen a couple of places where the people on the team, the teammates, actually don't like him because he's late or doesn't show up for film study and late at practice and sort of half-asses it through it. But, you know, you hear that stuff,
that,
but you don't have any confirmation.
Stuff. Yeah.
So, you know, you have to wait. The coaching staff will dig that out, though. You know the scouts are all over that.
What was that, Bobby?
I just had a thought. We'll probably be at the draft night, you know, wanting a certain guy and just praying to God the team in front of us picks that Darrell Green Beckham. Because you know we're not picking him.
You like what they did with Sheldon when Star was still on the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank
Sheldon
you,
Richardson.
Jets. Yeah, thank you, Jets.
I'll never forget that few minutes of sitting there and going, they took Sheldon Richardson? Really? Star's still on the board? We're picking? Star's still on the board?
When they made that
call,
I was
jaw open. And then to actually hear them say, Star Lotulelei, I was like, holy shit, I can't believe that. So I don't know who that would be this year.
Only thing, maybe if Lael Collins fell down to 24 and we're sitting there. I like Collins.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. Is it seemed like the common perception was that offensive tackles were a safe pick for a high pick. You know, because you got a pay line there. You know, that this lot less chance of busting, but you know. Mm-hmm. We haven't really seen, you know, we've seen a lot of the opposite of that recently. You know, the jury's still out on Eric Fisher, and they're close to calling him a bust. Lane Johnson's played Matt Khalil, who's kind of struggled.
Yep.
Jason Smith
Even Matthews,
for the Rams.
Atlanta hasn't really, he's still developing. He didn't come out balls to the wall either.
No, he didn't. And then, I mean, Lane Johnson played pretty well for the Eagles. Of course, you know, he went down around 15 or so. Well, no, they took him early, too, in the top 10. But he looks like he's going to be the best one out of the bunch. You know, Greg Robinson is probably going to kick in the tackle or to guard.
He started out at guard and moved to tackle when Long went out with injuries, and they said he actually looked pretty good at tackle.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what ends up with him.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like out of those top four tackles last year, the one drafted last looks like the best, the Martin kid that went to the Cowboys.
What was the kid that went to Tennessee from Michigan? I think he went to Tennessee.
Taylor Lewan.
Lewan,
right. Now, he's played pretty well.
He's played pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. One of those meaner guys. Yeah.
That's why I like Collins. I sort of like the mean guys.
You like the mean guys?
Yeah.
You know, guys that finish their blocks, you know, that's Norwell. I mean, that's and how Norwell stuck on the Panther roster and took over a left guard. Dude just, you know, is nonstop.
Well,
man,
I like somebody
that
if you do beat them, they're going to come back and beat you on the next play, you know?
Right.
Not like Bell saying, well, I did a good job.
Give up four sacks and say,
I tripped
him twice. Had a pretty good day. Thought it did pretty good against him. You know, and his thought is,
I stubbed his toe when he walked on my face.
Yeah. I went against him for 60 snaps and only gave up four sacks. That's great. That, to me, was the most disconcerting part of Byron Bell, as he seemed to be really oblivious to the fact that he just wasn't that good, or that he was not, that he was getting beat. I don't know.
That was it. You know, you have to identify the problem before you can fix it. And he just didn't see he had any problems.
So, and just a lot of times it seemed like a lack of effort. You know, that one time that, he had like one really good game his whole career. I can't remember. He gave some fan was giving him crap or something. Then he went and gave him his cleats, you know, his size.
That was last
17.
Yeah.
Was that last season or season before? Maybe it was last season. Yeah, I think it was last season. He had one good game, and it's like, okay, yeah, PFF graded you with a +4 or whatever. Way to go, Byron. Because you were pissed off about a fan calling you out before the game. Well, shit, dude, that's the kind of effort we needed every week.
Exactly.
So, you know, if you needed, you know, John the assault dog in the locker room to insult your ass before every game, or, you know, someone to slap you in the face like John Henderson back in the day, you know, blood in the mouth, then do it, man, because, you know, if you're able to do it once, you should have been able to do it a lot more often than once.
Put some dog crap on the toes of his cleats. And he'll stick his foot in there, and then he'll get pissed.
I don't know if y'all ever saw that John Henderson video, but that shit was funny. But he would literally,
I
remember
laughed
he came
this
out,
week. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Smoke said that Bell was a great teammate because he would always help pick you up after he got you tackled.
He was always standing around to help you up.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, I know y'all should Google that if you hadn't seen it. But John Henderson actually came out of University of Tennessee and then played for the Titans. But he had a routine where one of the trainers would literally slap him really hard in the mouth before a game in the locker room. I mean, he'd have him hit him 3-4 times or whatever until he was actually bloody in the mouth. He'd be like, blood in the mouth, blah, blah. And then he'd go out on the field and play, get him all pissed off. Kind
well,
of like shaking
the horn. Who was the guy that a couple of years ago had his helmet off and was banging himself in the head with it and split his head open, and they wouldn't let him on the field until he got it cleaned up?
Was it a panther? It wasn't a panther, was it? It was.
No. It was some crow.
I know what
you're
talking about, but I can't remember who it is now.
Whacked himself in the head with his own helmet and split his head open. Put me in, coach.
Well.
I tell you what, I just thought of something. If them Cowboys draft another offensive lineman in the first round, we're going to know them guys are serious, man, about their life. You know, they've had the last two first-rounders, Frederick, the center, and then Martin. I'm going to be real curious to see if they pull another offensive lineman in.
I mean, it's done wonders for their offense. Hey, you put some good blockers in front of even, you know, because DeMarco Murray had a career year, and I bet he never repeats what he did last year. He's not a real big guy. He's had some injury
history. I was
going to
say he's a quick guy. He's not a strong guy.
Yeah,
if you can get your hands on
him,
you can bring him down.
He's fast. He's shifty. And he stayed healthy, and he had some good blocking in front of him, you know. And certainly teams going before last season, if you're facing the Cowboys, you're thinking, well, I got to shut down Dez Bryant and Tony Romo, and we'll worry. You know, didn't really have to worry about the run. And you know, kind of like D'Angelo Williams' 2008 season when he put up 1,200 yards and 20 touchdowns. So I think 18 of them rushing or something and two receiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, well, GC, we're down to about 12 minutes. I'm looking around to see if we've missed any topics. I tell you,
I don't know. I was thinking about doing a post this year again about who is your unexpected draft pick and make your case for it, like I was doing last year for bringing in a center.
I really like Durst's big board that he's been doing.
Yeah.
I don't have the patience or know how to put something like that up, but I've kind of adopted his little posts. And anytime he updates that, I've been putting it in the cover. So that is the way he, you know, I like the way he's got it set up, just like the teams do, and that for each round, it's, you know, the first third, the middle third, and the last, the bottom third. I think that's a good way of looking at it.
It's really going to be interesting this year because I really don't know how they're going to go, other than I hope they have it fall in place where they get an offensive tackle. I really do. But other than that,
yeah,
they can go anywhere.
Well, first off, I'd be curious to see how many they think are worth that 25. Out of this six, you know, that we've now have seen mock draft to us, that, you know, there's at least six out there others think could be worth the 25, all put in different order. Well, actually, that Brandon Scherff has never dropped down to us yet.
No.
So there's, you know, when you throw Humphreys and then the Obichi, how do you say, Ogbui or whatever?
Ogbui, yeah.
Ogbui, yeah. That now you're up to, see, there's seven guys, I think, that people are saying are first round, even, and I've seen Jake Fisher in there as well, so you may have been up to eight that some are saying have first round grades. I'm curious how many the Panthers would agree with. first off. But one last point was a tweet from Joe Person about, he said, after the Byron Bell release, he said, Hardy, Williams, then Bell, these things happen in threes, that old saying. And so, you know, the Panthers refused to speak about Hardy during their two pressers during the combine, but you know, you got to assume Person's probably pretty much in the know, and so that he, if he's already acting like, well, Hardy's gone, it's just a matter of time. Then we all need to just accept it and move on. Just hope he doesn't end up in the NFC South.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
one last thing on the Hardy
I'm
thing
hoping
is a lot of people are assuming. Well, let me just add this about Hardy is some people say, oh, it's the money. You know, they won't sign him because of the money. And I'm like, it's not the money. I guarantee you it's not the money. Because we franchised him. We were willing to pay him $13 million. And the only reason you franchise somebody is because you really intend to sign them to a long-term deal. And if anything, when we were trying to sign him to a long-term deal this time last year, his market price was a hell of a lot higher than it's probably going to be now.
Right.
Considering he's probably got a six-game suspension, maybe, maybe not. I guess they'll know that before they start making offers to him. But you know his market value is going to take a hit. So...
It's funny how people are saying, you know, that he took a hit on the motorcycle accident and driving the car and all that other. But I really don't think that's going to come into play. It's all going to be about the domestic violence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and just, you know, the
was
just character risk.
He's just flaky sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, like you've just said, is why they won't draft that wide receiver.
Right.
So, yeah. He looked good, though. I have to admit, he got those measurables kind of up there with Calvin. Be tempting, but God, just
what about your Georgia Tech guys? Smelter and Waller?
Yeah, well, you know, they're coming back. As far as the draft, well, we got that guard, Shaq Mason, who didn't get invited to the combine. Not sure why, but he played well in the Senior Bowl.
Do the Georgia Tech wide receivers have that Roberto Duran hands of stone, or what is that? Something's going on because they look pretty good on measurables.
Well, Waller is not – Waller didn't go to the combine, did he? He's still a Tech, right?
No.
Are you saying
he went too. I think he went too.
Smelter left Tech? No. He's only like a – you're confusing me. I'll have to look this shit up.
I don't know. I might be confused, too. I get that way in my old age.
Well, Smelter, he tore his ACL there at the end of the season. But I want to say he was only a sophomore. Now, Waller, I can't see him getting drafted. He's huge. Big hands, but what, is it called 12 passes his whole career, maybe?
Smelter was at the combine, was invited to the combine, excuse me, but he did not participate. But he did get measured. His arms were 32.6 and his hands were 11-inch hands.
No.
He had 11-inch hands. He had 11-inch hands.
You're really tearing me up here, GC.
Yeah.
I thought
he
was
back
at Tech.
Yeah, he was recovering from the torn ACL, so he didn't run. But he did the measurables.
Oh, man, how did I miss that?
And then Waller
let me tell
was
you,
there. And Waller did run. He ran a 4.46.
And
with a 158,
I'm telling you, he's going to be another Stephen Hill then.
Yeah.
He's going to be another Stephen. I'll be very shocked if he does anything in the NFL.
6'6", 238 pounds.
Yeah, he's huge.
Ran a 4.46. Ran a 4.46.
I mean, again, that was Stephen Hill, 6'5", ran a 4.35 or something. But
yep. They both were
yep,
at the combine.
I totally missed it. He totally missed that. But he's a very smelter. Great size, 6'2", 226, nice speed. He didn't do anything, though. You said he didn't run.
Didn't run.
Yeah, I mean, he's got that ACL.
That's what I was just looking at. I didn't realize it until I was just talking to you about it. He had 11-inch hands. I think that's probably the biggest hands at the combine for wide receiver.
Yep.
Catcher Schmidt.
Yeah, if he wasn't coming off of that ACL, he would probably be a second or third round pick. He can block. I mean, he's the kind of guy that a lot of NFL coaches will love. Is, you know, loves to block. You know, you don't play in our offense if you don't block.
So if he's there for a late round pick, Panthers should pick him to put him up.
I'd love it, man. Yeah, now the Waller, I want nothing to do with him. Yeah. Don't need to really see Waller, but you know, big guy, could block.
I'm looking here, and they said he was a second or third round pick before the ACL, and now they don't know where he's going.
Oh, okay. Let's see, Waller, grade 5'4".
Waller.
I mean, he had some nice jump. He's a jump ball type of guy, but again, I guess it's hard to evaluate wide receivers in our offense.
They're not even showing Waller is getting drafted. They're saying he's an undrafted free agent type.
Yeah. He was a top performer, though, in the 60-yard shuttle.
Yeah, that's what I said. He's huge, and he's fast, 4.46 at 6'6", 238.
Yep.
That's unbelievable.
You know, he might shock me.
Too bad they don't let him put the stickum on it like old Biletnikoff used to do. Couldn't shake his hand because he couldn't pry it loose.
Yep. But, yep, long 6'6", long arms. Well, GC, we're down to our last minute, buddy. I appreciate you calling in. Same with
always
Ed.
Always good to hear from you.
Man, and Bobby, looks like Bobby just dropped out, so we'll try it again. I figure right around free agency, first around March 10th, we'll have our next show.
Yeah, good night.
But all right, buddy, we'll see, and everybody out in the chat, we'll see y'all on the blog. Have a good one.